The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Buffalo's big statement dominating the Patriots. Do the Bills have the best chance to take down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? Plus, the road to the Super Bowl goes through Aaron Rodgers. Wait until you hear who our guys think can take the Lambo leap and win in Green Bay. And how much is at stake for Brian Kelly and the Fighting Irish? Is Notre Dame's reputation on the line? We'll talk about that and so much more today on Get Up. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We've got our whole football crew with us. We've got our guys in the house today. Marcus Spears, Jeff Saturday, Dan Graziano, ready to talk some football and a lot more. So let's get right to it with the game of the night. Buffalo, Patriots. And this was a great one. Josh Allen dancing his way into the playoffs, visiting the Patriots. Bills looking for the season sweep over the Pats for the first time this century. And it started with a little bit of trickeration. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. And look at that. Jaquan Johnson taking the snap on the fake punt. Look, Bills stacking the box, but it didn't matter because watch. Just real smooth completing that pass, keeping the drive going. How about that? Under 1 minute left in the first quarter. Fourth and one. Patriots 43-yard line. Allen fakes the handoff, keeps it for himself for a 22-yard gain, and the first down. Bills were having their way with the Patriots in this game. And here you go, right here, you look at it. Allen dropping back. Dawson Knox in there. Zach Moss in there for the touchdown. Bills lead 10-3. After the Patriots score, Bills lead 10-9, fourth and two on the 43. Allen drops back, and here's the Dawson Knox play. Keeping the first down going. Bills 3-for-3 on fourth down in the first half. They entered Monday with 7 fourth down tries, fewest in the NFL. That drive continues. First and goal from the 4. Allen with the play action, finding Lee Smith in the end zone for the touchdown. Bills lead at 17-9, and Smith gets a nice little tackle by his lineman, keeping them happy. Next Bills possession, first and 10 from the 50. Allen drops back, finding Stephon Diggs, and Diggs takes it all the way. Running by guys. Bills 24-9 heading into halftime, and it was that kind of game, and it didn't get any better for the Patriots in the third quarter. Bills first drive out of the half, first and 10 on the Patriots 18-yard line. Allen fires to Diggs, and yup, walks right in for the touchdown. Second touchdown catch of the game for Diggs. Allen tying Jim Kelly for the most touchdowns in a single season in Bills history. Bills up 31-9. And then fourth quarter, first and goal. He's going to break Jim Kelly's record on this play right here. Stephon Diggs, third touchdown catch of the game. And watch it again. Yeah, flex on that one. Bill Belichick not happy because watch it again. Rolling left and just striking. This combination between Allen Diggs working to perfection right now, and these guys were all smiles after the game.
That's Josh Allen, grandma! MVP of the league. It is Josh Allen, hey!
What's wrong with them?
Oh, wait. Wait, do you think Josh Allen's the MVP, Stephon?
100%.
Hell yeah!
You thought I was about to say something else? That's my, especially my MVP.
Yeah, right? Definitely for them. Good calls brought to you by Subway, and the tandem of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs set a single-season franchise records in passing touchdowns and receiving yards last night, giving Buffalo 12 wins for the first time since 1993. A 13th win would be tied for the most in Bills history. So let's welcome in our guys, Jeff Saturday, Marcus Spears, Dan Graziano. Guys, here's the thing. This Bills team is on fire right now. And, Jeff, I have to ask you, how serious of a threat are the Bills to the Chiefs right now?
Well, it is the biggest threat in the AFC. When you look at this team and the balance that they have, I think this team is scary. I mean, you looked at Josh Allen last night, and I would say the way that they beat the Patriots was probably the most impressive. You know, you think about Belichick and what he wants to do. He wants to take away your number one option, which is Stephon Diggs. Well, they couldn't do that, and that's a lot of that goes back to Allen. Like the throw on the touchdown that we saw right here where Diggs is taking this thing yard, an incredible throw. And the rollout when he boots out and throws it in the corner of the end zone, very Mahomes-esque. So when you talk about beating a Bill Belichick team throwing it away the way that they did, it was a very impressive victory. Again, I think, you know, the Patriots were inept on offense, no real challenge to win. But ultimately, the way the Bills beat them was very impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah, Marcus, what was your reaction to this win, this incredible win by the Bills?
Yeah, look, you look at this team and you ask yourself, especially when we're talking about the Chiefs in context, you ask yourself, can this team put up 40 if need be, right? We saw the Chiefs lose one. It took 40. And I know what people are saying. Well, the Chiefs have been struggling. The Chiefs do what they need to do to win games. And if you look at Buffalo and how they're built to have that same type of success. I love the aggressive nature, too, of Sean McDermott. I love the fake punt. I love the fact that they're like that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, are allowing Josh Allen to do what he does. But like you see here on the fake, these are the things that you need in order to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The one other thing that was impressive last night, Ryan and guys, is that Buffalo never took their foot off the gas. And that's one big thing you need in order to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They're playing with uber confidence. You see it happening on the defense side of the ball, and I don't think that side of the ball gets mentioned enough because of the success they've had offensively. But you look at Tre'Davious White, Poirier, all of those guys in that secondary, those are the guys that you need against Patrick Mahomes and that squad. Buffalo Bills look really complete, and they look like they can compete against the Chiefs.
And Dan Graziano, I think at the beginning of this season, I don't think we ever thought we'd be talking about the Patriots as an afterthought, as a complete afterthought. This year has been terrible for them. And I have to think maybe this is an end of an era, or do you think it's an end of an era here for the Patriots in terms of their run of success all these years?
They're going to have to turn things around. They're going to have to figure out the quarterback position this offseason, what they do there. Look, the Bills are much better positioned right now and for the future. And actually, you can make a case that the Miami Dolphins are as well. But, you know, you don't want to necessarily count Bill Belichick out. Obviously, he's had more success than anyone's ever had. So you would have faith in his ability to get things turned around. But he has to. I mean, right now, the Bills are the much better team. They beat them twice this year. By the way, they beat them two different ways. I was at the first game in Buffalo where they only threw it 18 times and ran it 38 and beat the Patriots. And then last night, you know, they throw it 40 times. So they can beat you either way. They're like, you know, the Bruce Arians wants to say the Buccaneers can do whatever they want. The Bills are the team that looks like they can do whatever they want. And right now, last night, I was watching a team and a franchise take out 20 years worth of frustration on the team that has kicked it around for so long. And it's a changing of the guard. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Jeff, what do you think?
A little overstated. Listen, I heard us talk about it last night. Bill Belichick still knows how to coach. Josh McDaniels still knows how to coach, all right? Like, they got to get the quarterback situation figured out. I understand, but 8 opt-outs. Think about how many of the defensive guys are not there. When those guys get back, you know, Hightower, Chung, like, you name it. Like, this team will be back in the mix. So just act like the Bills or the Dolphins are going to walk through this division. Bill Belichick will find a way to get his team back and competitive. I would not write them off. I would not hit the panic button quite yet.
All right. We'll talk a lot more about the Patriots and what's going on with them. We'll talk more about the Bills. But I want to get to this, guys, because this was a real shocker in the NFL. The Washington football team releasing Dwayne Haskins on Monday, one day after he was benched against Carolina and less than 2 years after he was selected 15th overall in the 2019 draft. Washington coach Ron Rivera said in a statement that it benefits both parties that we go our separate ways. And this was telling. Dwayne Haskins tweeting this statement yesterday afternoon. My time with the Washington football team has unfortunately come to an end. I thank the team and the fans for the opportunity to play for the team I grew up rooting for. I take full responsibility for not meeting the standards of an NFL quarterback and will become a better man and player because of this experience. Dan, I want to start with you. What happened here with this relationship?
I mean, almost everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Basically, Washington got to a point where it decided that it was doing more harm than good to them to have him on the roster. I mean, look, go back a week, and he was in trouble for off-field behavior that could have brought the COVID-19 virus into the facility, right? So they strip him of his captaincy. They fine him $40,000. But they still give him the start Sunday because Alex Smith can't go. So they're offering him a chance, like, hey, man, show us that you've learned from the experience of this year, last year, and that you've grown and that you're ready to deliver at a high level for us. The exact opposite happened. he was unable to do anything to help them win a game that they needed to win. So now you have a situation where both off the field and on the field, not only is he not helping you, but he's actively hurting you. They know they're not going to go with him next year, so they decide to cut the cord now and move on and try and win this game this week that they need to win without him.
Marcus, I have to wonder, what does Haskins' future look like in the NFL to you?
Very, very sketchy, Ryan, when you think about, look, I want everybody to keep this in context. The Washington football team is about to play a play-in game for the playoffs. And they cut the dude that started 7 days ago for them at the quarterback position. Like, think about that indictment and what the other 31 other teams are looking at and saying to themselves. How does it get this bad that they have to cut Dwayne Haskins before they go into a potential playoff game? And then the second part is this. Like, there are things that we don't know that other organizations will know when they call to inquire about Dwayne Haskins. And I don't want to pile on because the kid is young, and I hope he gets another opportunity to play in this league, to have a chance at success. That doesn't guarantee he's going to be a good quarterback or anything like that, but we know there's talent there through 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. So there's some talent that somebody may want to attach themselves to. But what you have to ask every other team in the NFL, I am going to need you to get over the fact that the Washington football team cut him before a play-in playoff game. That is the biggest indictment on this whole situation when it comes to a football standpoint.
And, Jeff, when I think about that, I think about how tough it may be for him to catch on elsewhere.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, let's think about this, man. Like it's hard. This is not an easy thing to do to get released. This is the fastest any player's been cut since, I think in NFL history from a guy who's been drafted 15. Like, it is hard work from a guy who went in undrafted to all of Swagoo and Dan's points. This was an indictment on he is more of a problem than a solution in a situation where we are trying to make the playoffs. There is no warm and fuzzies in this thing. And I'm with Swagoo on this. Look, man, I'm a player guy. I want every player to be successful. I want to make the most money they can playing this game. But at some point, you have to be a pro's pro. And if you're not handling your business off the
field
and then on the field, you're walking in and offering nothing to a football team, man, it is tough to get back in. So hopefully he'll get an opportunity to back up somewhere and learn how to be a professional football player and really turn the experience around from where he is right now.
Yeah, maybe it would have been a different story had he been performing on the field, but obviously not. So we'll see what happens next with him. All right, Dan Graziano, want to run the hurry up with you, go through some NFL storylines. Big game this weekend between the Cardinals and the Rams. What's the status of their quarterbacks, starting with Kyler Murray?
Yeah, Kyler Murray injured his leg in the game this weekend. The Cardinals believe that he has a chance to play this weekend. Obviously, they need to get him out on the field, see him move around, and see what he has to offer in terms of mobility and how he's handling that leg injury before they can know for sure. But they're hopeful that they will have him. If they don't, it'll be backup Chris Streveler starting in a must-win game for Arizona. Speaking of backup, the other team in that game, the Rams, will use a backup John Walford after starter Jared Goff had thumb surgery on his throwing hand. He will have to miss this game. The Rams' hope is that they can win the game or Chicago loses. They get into the postseason, and Goff is ready to go for that playoff game that, again, they still hope to qualify for. So we'll see on that. Kansas City's in. They're locked into the one seed. It sounds like Andy Reid is planning to rest some key starters this week to get them prepared for the playoffs. That likely means Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, a lot of guys who have had big years that he decides need a little bit of rest before the postseason starts. Obviously, the Chiefs hope and plan to be playing for at least another month or more, so they'll get their guys a little bit of a breather.
Okay, well-deserved, I assume. 14-1, not bad for them. We'll see what happens there. Thank you so much, Dan. Let's move on to college football. Alabama, Notre Dame set to play for the first time since the 2012 BCS National Championship, a game the Crimson Tide won by 28 points. Now, that's just one of several high-profile losses Notre Dame has suffered over the last 20 years. Take a look at this and take it in. Since 1998, Notre Dame has lost all six of its BCS and New Year's Six bowl games, most recently to Clemson in the 2018 Cotton Bowl. Now, the Fighting Irish have been outscored by 144 points during that span. Yet, here is Brian Kelly on what they have to prove.
And we're knocking at the door every year, playing really good teams and great opponents, and there's elite football teams. I don't know why this narrative continues to pop up when we're always in the games. No, we haven't won a national championship. That's correct. I'm not changing the record. But we are there every single year, and we are grinding it out just like everybody else.
Let's welcome in Paul Feinbaum and Joey Galloway. Paul, what is your reaction to Brian Kelly's comments?
Well, I mean, not only has Notre Dame not won a national championship, they haven't even competed in these games, and I think that's really the issue here, Ryan. But Brian Kelly is trying to lower the expectations even lower than they already are. Most people think Alabama is going to completely eviscerate them Friday afternoon, and I don't know how you could argue at that point. He's trying to bake into the cake. Listen, we're a great program. We're Notre Dame. We're in the playoffs every year or two. We just can't win the big one, so don't blame me and don't blame my players. I mean, it's a crazy approach, but he's just trying to keep his team calm before they walk into the slaughter Friday afternoon.
It's astounding to me if he's actually thinking that way. The idea of, don't worry, guys, we're still good no matter what. So, Joey, it makes me think, to Brian Kelly's point, do we hold Notre Dame to an unfair standard on the other side of that?
I don't think it's an unfair standard. People just want to see the four best teams in the country, and they want to see good games when they get to the college football playoff. And if they're not good games, then the question always arises, did you deserve to be there? Now, I do believe that Notre Dame is one of the four best teams in the country, and I believe they have been in recent years when they get into the playoff. And so I don't look at the end result and say, well, they didn't deserve to be there. They've absolutely earned their right to be there the way they played this season. I think this is a better football team than we've seen in recent years. Unfortunately for Notre Dame, they're going against a ridiculously good offense in Alabama. So it's going to be tough.
All right. So what has to happen, Joey, for Notre Dame to beat Alabama in this game?
Notre Dame has to run the ball well. If you look at the first time when they played Clemson, when they won the game, Kyron Williams had 140 yards rushing. And then in the second time when they lost, he had like 50 yards rushing. Then the problem there is not just the yards, but it's the way their offense works. They're much better when they run the ball well. They can then go play action pass, and it makes Ian Book a much better quarterback. You play Alabama defense, they want to rush three and play eight deep in coverage. And the way you get them out of that coverage, out of that defense, is to run the ball at them. Not to mention, running the ball keeps Mac Jones and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris, all those guys, on the sideline. And it sort of takes some time off the clock and doesn't let that high-powered Alabama offense just control the game.
Okay, and it wouldn't hurt for Ian Book to have a great game. Paul, what's your reaction?
I mean, I think Joey laid it out. I think they're going to need more than that, Ryan. I think they're going to need a miracle. And Notre Dame is capable of that based on its connections in the world. But beyond that, and I don't mean to be dismissive of what Brian Kelly has accomplished. They've had a fantastic season, and they are one of the four best teams, but they're nowhere close to where Alabama is right now. Is anyone, okay, is the question.
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill task, but you never know. I know it's been bad for Notre Dame, but you never know what can happen, guys. All right, thanks so much. We're going to come back to you a little bit with more college football in a little while. But let's get up and go. Talk about some of the biggest stories in sports. The Padres, they're on the verge of acquiring pitcher Yu Darvish from the Cubs for pitcher Zach Davies and a bunch of prospects. Darvish would be the second addition to the Padres rotation this week. They're also adding Blake Snell from the Rays. And then this news, Ja Morant going to get an MRI today after spraining his left ankle while attempting to block a shot last night against the Nets. He was taken off the court in a wheelchair. He later returned wearing a walking boot. Now, according to Woj, x-rays revealed no fractures. Some good news there. Gators quarterback Kyle Trask will be without his four top targets at tomorrow's Cotton Bowl. His two starting receivers, along with All-American Kyle Pitts, are skipping the game to prepare for the draft. Another receiver is out after testing positive for COVID-19. And weeks after collapsing on the court, Florida forward Keontae Johnson is back with his team working as a coach. Gators head coach Mike White says he has no idea if Johnson will be able to play again this season.
Well, got a lot more on GetUp, including this. Coming up, it hasn't been easy for Lamar and the Ravens this season, but find out why one of our analysts says they are more dangerous now than they were last year. And Doug Peterson thinks he's the right man to fix the Eagles' disaster. Is he right, or is it time for a change in Philly? You're watching GetUp.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Ford. Built Ford proud. And meanwhile, on planet Earth, check this out. If you need some help with your picks for the college football bowl season, Yang Yang the Panda is there for you. He resides in the Atlanta Zoo. He put out his predictive powers to the test. And as you can see, Yang Yang is going with Georgia over Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl. Jeff, what do you think? Yang Yang have it right?
Yeah, man, home field advantage, man. Atlanta, Peach Bowl, Georgia, no brainer. We even got smart pandas down here.
What's he eating in the box? Is that smart, Jeff? I don't know.
I'm not sure about
that. Coming up, he's 0-2 in the playoffs. So why do our analysts think it could be a different story for Lamar Jackson in January? You've got questions. We've got answers.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you now on Get Up, starting with the game of the night. Monday Night Football, Stephon Diggs having a season, and he was catching a lot of things, including that guy. Bills up 17-9. First and 10 from the 50, Josh Allen to Diggs, and he just runs away. Not a chance, Patriots. Scores on that one, 50-yard touchdown, 24-9, heading into halftime. First drive out of halftime. First and 10 on the Patriots, 18. Play fake, and Diggs pulling through for the touchdown, walks right in. Second touchdown catch of the game for Diggs. Bill Belichick, you think he's pleased? I don't think so. 31-9, first and goal. Josh Allen rolls left and somehow finds, you guessed it, Stephon Diggs for his third touchdown of the game. Allen threw 4 TDs in total. Bills win this one 38-9, and they are now 1 win away from locking down the number 2 seed in a tight AFC playoff race, with the Chiefs already clinching the top spot. ESPN's FBI gives the Browns the lowest chance to make the postseason. Now, yesterday, this is interesting. Rex Ryan was asked which team could give the Chiefs the biggest issue, and here's what he said. Take a listen.
It's the Baltimore Ravens right here, man. Lamar Jackson, I'm sorry, but when Lamar's playing like this, it's unreal. I mean, Baltimore now, they can run the ball better than any team in the league. This rookie running back, Dobbins, has been amazing. And then when Lamar's got that thing running, he can dial up Hollywood Brown. He can dial up those tight ends. Dez Bryant now shows up in the red zone. I love the way Baltimore is playing right now. And their defense, we can say what we want, but their defense is about as good as it gets in the league.
That's very interesting considering the Ravens aren't even in the playoffs yet. But I got to ask you guys, and Marcus, I'll start with you. Do you agree that outside of the Chiefs, maybe the Bills, the Ravens are the scariest team in the AFC?
Yeah, and it really doesn't have anything to do for me with the talent. We understand the talent. The defense is phenomenal, and then you see what Lamar Jackson is doing. It's about the mentality for me. Like, we talk about this team coming into the playoffs being 0-2, but that was off of successful regular seasons. They're playing in the playoffs right now. Like, the Ravens have been in the playoffs for the last 3 weeks, and we've seen the switch get flipped for this team and the way Lamar is playing and operating, and you're looking at what this team has had the ability to do. And I think it's going to bode well for these young players on this football team. Like, understanding playoff football is a different animal. Knowing that sense of urgency, understanding how important it is every single play for you to try to have success, they've been having to play that way. And I think the experience of Lamar Jackson losing in the playoffs prior to, the way they've been having to play down the stretch, understanding where they are, backs against the wall, that dog against everybody else mentality, I think it's going to bode well for them. And Lamar Jackson, it seems like Greg Roman and this team has said, okay, our quarterback is the best player on the field outside of probably when Patrick Mahomes is on the field or Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen. That'll be comparable to what he's doing as far as what he's bringing to the team. But dynamic, athleticism, the way he can flip a play into a positive that looks absolutely bad, there's none like Lamar Jackson, and I think they're figuring that out, and they're having to play that way in order to have success, and I think that's going to bode well for them going forward.
Jeff, let's talk about this, though. This is a team that has, let's be honest, they have flopped in the playoffs. Last year, it was, oh, you know, they're going to take it all the way, no problem, and they flopped. So what do you think? Are they the scariest team now? Are they going to turn this around if they make the playoffs?
No, listen, I love what Swaggoo's saying about Lamar Jackson, and Rex is obviously really excited about the Ravens. I will say they're probably the most difficult team to prepare for. Who have they beat? Like Swaggoo's saying, they've been in the playoffs the last 4 or 5 weeks. No, because they ain't played any playoff team. You know what I mean? Like you have to beat playoff teams in the playoffs. You know, this offense is really good when they have a lead, and they've shown that, right? They can run the ball effectively. They can do all these things. All that is impressive. But at the end of the day, if they get behind, this is not a team that can come back and win. That's going to be the issue. Because whether you're chasing the Bills, the Chiefs, possibly even the Steelers, if those teams get up on you, it takes Baltimore completely out of their game. If I could trust that Greg Roman and this Ravens offense would stay doing what they're doing and not get back to, hey, we got to make them a pocket passer. We're going to have to throw the ball to beat some teams, whatever that looks like. That's the part that I get concerned with. I like the Ravens on defense. I love them running the football. I'm not sure they can go point for point against some of these AFC football teams.
Yeah, and that's a trouble spot, Dan. How do you think this sets them up in the playoffs? How do they look to you?
Well, they look better than they've looked all year, right? And I think, you know, the defense should be able to get healthier on the back end here going forward, which will help. We've talked throughout the year about the problems they've had in the run game. They had retirements and injuries on the offensive line, so that's taken some time to put back together. But since that Cleveland game, that great Monday night game, they've looked like themselves. And I think that's what scares you if you're in the AFC, because over the past couple of years, when the Ravens have been operating the way they want to, they've been this kind of, you know, scary-looking bully type of team. There is film on how to beat them in the playoffs from Tennessee last year, from the Chargers the year before. So it's not like, you know, there's some sort of dominant unit, but they've likely learned from those experiences. Sometimes those heartbreaking losses can come back and help you the next year. You learn from them. So I think they're a team to watch for sure, assuming they get in, because right now they're operating their offense the way they like to.
All right. Hey, Swaggy, just a quick thing here. Do you think this is a better team than last year's team?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
No, I don't think the talent is the same, but I think the experience and the way they're going into this playoffs does better for them than they did last year.
Okay, all right. We'll see how that plays out for them. So for a team that might be on the rise to a team that is definitely falling, the Philadelphia Eagles, 22-24-1 since winning the Super Bowl and the famous Philly special. Now they're dealing with a quarterback controversy. They've officially been eliminated from the playoffs. Head coach Doug Peterson thinks, though, he'll be back next season.
There's always going to be evaluation in the offseason. And you know, obviously my job is evaluated as well. But I fully expect to be the coach next season, and I welcome that opportunity to get things right and get things fixed and take this team into next season.
Now, guys, I got to think that winning a Super Bowl just back in 2018 has got to be worth something. But this has been a very difficult year for Doug Peterson, for these Eagles, and Dan Graziano. I wonder if the way this quarterback situation has played out this season, if that, despite his accolades, despite his Super Bowl in a Philadelphia town that was dying for such a win for so many decades, could it eventually cost Peterson his job?
It's certainly part of the conversation, right? I mean, Carson Wentz has had a major letdown year when a lot of pressure was on him and on Doug Peterson to deliver in adverse circumstances, all the injuries they've had, etc., and they didn't do it. And the failure of Wentz this year, if that's laid at Peterson's feet, that's certainly a point against him as the organization decides whether to make a change at the head coaching position. So we will see. Jeffrey Lurie's the kind of owner that will take everything into consideration, that likely won't make his decision until after the regular season is over, which is in 5 days. And so this time next week, we'll have a better sense of what's going on. But Peterson obviously is trying to make sure everyone knows, and that's the general public, that's his current employer, that's potential future employers. Hey, I know what I'm doing. I won a Super Bowl not long ago. Don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Okay, so Jeff Saturday, does that save his job?
His job shouldn't be in jeopardy anyway. Like you're talking about, we're prisoners of the moment and a snapshot in time that his job should be up. I mean, listen, it's been a bad year. You got an offensive line that's decimated with injury. You have your $100 million player that, by the way, the owner, GM, and you all agreed on was going to be your franchise who has struggled. You ultimately push on and move on to Jalen Hurts, who's given you a spark of some sort. But again, you beat the Saints, but they're not winning games. They're still struggling in different pieces and parts. Doug Peterson didn't just forget how to coach. You know, a few years ago, they won the Super Bowl. You just saw him getting Gatorade dumped on him, right? Last year, they battled back to make it. I'm just not in for a snapshot. You have a bad season. All of a sudden, you're going to fire this guy. I mean, do decisions need to be made? And he just addressed them. Absolutely, they do. But his job being in jeopardy, I think, is a ridiculous conversation.
Here's the thing, though. You're 4-10-1, Marcus. And when that happens, the discussion comes up. He has to at least address that. And that seems like what he's doing. But what do you think?
Yeah, he has to address it, but it shouldn't be a damn question whether Doug Peterson is back as the coach. Man, what are we talking? Like, I played for the Dallas Cowboys, guys. It's been a long time since a Super Bowl happened there. It's been a long time, a real long time. Like, and for a coach to prove just 2 years ago that he could win a Super Bowl and then take a team that's limping throughout the season and have a fortune, be able to get them into the playoffs last year, and we're talking about his job after a season. Like,
how long? But let me ask Carson you this, Wentz. How long does that buy him? Because they're still 4-10-1. They still had the situation with Wentz and Hurts this year. People would argue that he hung on to him too long.
Hey, Ryan Smith, let me ask you a question. Who's the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys?
Mr. McCarthy. Go ahead.
That's how long a damn Super Bowl by you. Okay? Listen,
that's exactly
this is not
right.
Rocket science for anybody out there. Doug Peterson is a good head coach. You don't let them out the door unless you're trying to be, unless you want to outsmart yourself and think you're going to bring somebody else in to return Carson Wentz to MVP. Oh, wait, let me stop that. Carson Wentz was playing like MVP with Doug Peterson as the head coach. Like, what are we talking about? Let this season be an anomaly, okay? Because it is. You had a quarterback that regressed. By his own doing, because it did get better when Jalen Hurts got into that offense, by the way. And let's see what happens next year when they're healthy and if he can get Carson or Jalen to be their starter and get them prepared to play. And then we'll start having a conversation down the road. But to ask how long a Super Bowl by you or to ask if Doug Peterson's job should be on the line, hell no. I play for the Cowboys. It's been a quarter century, like Stephen A. remind y'all of all the time.
Dan, I know you want to jump in. Go ahead.
Just two quick things. One, Jeffrey Lurie replaced Andy Reid some years ago with Chip Kelly. That didn't go well. So he knows that you can't just move on from a coach. You have to know who you're getting to replace him. That's an important part of this process. And if the Eagles did move on from Doug Peterson, I wouldn't be surprised if other teams looking for head coaches were to interview him for those spots.
Oh, yeah. He would be snapped up quick. I have to think. All right, guys, we'll talk more about this in the Eagles situation. But first, let's talk about this. Bowl Mania rolls on today. Two excellent matchups. Number 21, Oklahoma State, squares off against number 18, Miami, in the Cheez-It Bowl, 5:30 Eastern. Then 20th-ranked Texas takes on Colorado in the Valero Alamo Bowl. Both games are on ESPN and the app. Well, coming up, who takes the Lambeau Leap in January? Can anyone go into Green Bay and upset Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? We'll talk about that when we come back.
3 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.
Back with you on Get Up, talking the NFL and the Green Bay Packers. Is anybody better than them right now, playing better than them? The Packers now one game away from clinching the number one overall seed after dominating the Titans 40-14. The path to the Super Bowl in the NFC may soon have to go through Lambeau Field. And that setups this situation. The Packers can secure the number one overall seed with a win against the Bears, while the Saints and the Seahawks also have a chance at a first-round bye. Now, Tampa's punched its ticket with the Rams, the Bears, the Cardinals, all in the mix for those final two wild card spots. But man, is it tough to think about having to go into Green Bay and play and get to the Super Bowl through there. Let's bring in our guys again. And Jeff, I want to start with you. Which team, if there is one, do you think in the NFC playoffs can go into Lambeau Field and beat these Packers playing the way they're playing right now?
Yeah, Ryan, it's a tough question, man. I mean, when you look at all the NFC challengers, I would probably say the Saints have the best opportunity. And why would I say the Saints? You know, you look at Kamara, can they get the run game started? They have a good offensive line. They can match up and pressure rush you with four, and they can play decently against your group on the back end. The problem is with as well as Aaron Rodgers and this offensive line is playing. I mean, it's the offensive line for the Packers that I think ultimately are the difference maker. Not only are they protecting for Aaron Rodgers, they're running the rock. So when you talk about what do the Saints have to do, they have to be able to match that, keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, being able to establish their run. It is a tall task. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what anybody says, weather does matter. When you get to Green Bay, if it's a bad weather game, Tennessee Titans learn that lesson the hard way. These guys practice in it. They're accustomed to it. That's the kind of wild card that Green Bay gets to play with, having this home field advantage.
Yeah, weather matters. But, Marcus, I got to think, you know who also matters? Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Tell me about how cold it is, damn it, and all of the things that go on when you go to Lambeau. I've been there, and I've been there when it's cold. And I went up there with a really good team that we had that year with the Dallas Cowboys. That 8 degrees ain't scare me near as much as looking at 12 over there already knowing what the hell we was going to do on defense and just picking us apart and carving us up. So, yeah. to Jeff's point, the weather is a factor, and it could be beautiful when they play too. But the bottom line is this. You better be worried about Aaron Rodgers more than you worried about being cold. You better get in front of a heater. You better use them heated benches they have over there. You don't need to wear a bunch of layers because when you sweat and get wet and that cold water just sit on you, you better be worried about 12. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter how cold it is. You're going to be left out in the cold and be able to go to the beach if you don't pay attention to him and you worry about the weather. You'll be somewhere on the boat. Maybe you want to be there early. But I know everybody in the playoffs trying to get to a Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers the problem, not the weather.
Yeah. Just talking about the weather, by the way, is making me shiver right here in this studio. But, Dan, you talked earlier in the meeting about we meet before the show, and you talked about how the weather could be very interesting in this one. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, look, I mean, you expect it to be awful in January in Green Bay, and that's more likely than not, but it's not automatic. I mean, you could show up and get a 35-degree sunny day, which is kind of a great break if you're going to Green Bay in January. So that's not, I think the key advantages for the Packers, obviously to Marcus's point about Aaron Rodgers, the key advantage is if you get the one seed, you have a week off. You only have to win two games to get to the Super Bowl where everybody else has to win three. So that rather than more than where the games are played, I think that's the trick. If the Saints go into Lambeau Field and don't win, I think it's unlikely that the weather would be the main reason why. The Saints are certainly good enough, especially on defense, to handle that. The issue would be maybe they're a little more worn out because they didn't get the bye, and maybe Rodgers is just that locked in right now. But, yeah, look, it's not ideal, but the bigger factor in getting the one seed this year is not the home field advantage as much as the rest advantage.
Now go ahead, Marcus, go ahead. Wait, I'm sorry, Jeff, go.
No. Let me just say this. I'm hearing from a reporter and a defensive guy about weather. From an offensive guy's perspective, I am telling you, it makes a difference, bro. Handling that rock when it's snowing or raining, the only team that's one plays in a dome, one plays in one of the prettiest places in the country in Tampa Bay. These teams, the only guys who feels comfortable going in this would be the Seattle Seahawks because they play in some trash weather. But look, I played with the Colts before I was a Packer. I played in there. Jim Moore came in there screaming at everybody about taking off our sleeves. We were freezing. It was raining. It was nasty. And we ended up losing by a point. I'm going to let you know, weather does play a factor. So whoever's playing them better hope it's sunny and pretty in Green Bay because y'all got a defensive guy talking about chasing somebody. I had to touch that thing. That hand hurts, feels different in that cold weather.
Yeah, it's all about your perspective. Look, I mean, it's a lot colder in the New Orleans Saints press box than it is in the Green Bay Packers one, like because you're up near the air conditioners and it's not enclosed. So a little bit of a different situation, I guess.
If I could break it down, like Jeff makes a great point because they handling the rock. It feels when it's that cold, I want to bring like everybody in that's watching. When it's that cold and you playing football, especially in the trenches, that first hit feel like you getting electrocuted. It feels like your body is going through the worst possible thing it can go through. Now, as the game goes along, you start to get better because your body warm up and all of that. But that first initial pop when you in that type of weather will make you determine if you really love playing football or not. I'm from That's Louisiana. Right. I remember when we went to Green Bay. I played in Green Bay in January. I played in Pittsburgh in January. It's been -8 wind chill, had it at like -1 before when I played. And I'm from Louisiana. I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And when I got in that weather, I said to myself, it ain't no way in hell we supposed to play football in this type of weather. It is not even real. Like this, the body should not be subjected to that. So that's to let everybody know when Jeff Saturday tell you that weather matters, it absolutely matters, especially for those guys in the trenches, man.
Love it. Oh, you know what? And I feel the same way, Marcus, right now in the studio. It's a little bit chilly. And, you know, I just wish it was a little bit warmer. There's no way in hell somebody should broadcast in this kind of temperature. I get you. I can feel you guys. I really can. You know? I don't know how Green does it.
People don't know what we go through.
But,
But one final thought here, Dan. I want to come to you. Is there a team you think that could take down Green Bay at Lambeau?
Oh, yeah. Look, I do think the Saints can do it. I think the Saints are, I mean, they're battle-tested. They've had heartbreaking exits from the playoffs each of the last 3 years. They're good enough, again, on defense. They're a complete team. They can run the ball, and they can run the ball in a couple of different ways. Kamara, Latavius Murray. Yeah, I think they're set up to do it. Look, the Packers are going great right now, and if they are the team that has the bye, you would favor them. But I do think New Orleans is entirely capable of going up there and winning a game, yes.
Yeah. All right, so we'll see. I mean, look, Green Bay has been playing lights out. Aaron Rodgers has been playing lights out. But you never know once you get to the playoffs, especially with some good teams there in the NFC. And let's talk about this. The first of our New Year's six games, Heisman finalist Kyle Trask leads number 7 Florida against number 6 Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. Our coverage begins tomorrow, 8 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Well, coming up on Monday night, embarrassment. Are the Bills the one team in the AFC who can beat the Chiefs? We'll talk about that and a lot more when we come back.